Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
I'd like to preach about the secret of self-control. Amen. So God remind me again last night when I prepared a lesson. Don't hurry. Just go slowly, that people will get the message. And if I don't finish the sermon, it's okay. We can continue next Sunday. Amen. We're going to learn about self-control. I don't want to just give you a lot of information, but I want to make sure that you get it. You really get it. You really say, yes, this is a part of my life. I want to do it. I don't want to just give you information. I want the word of God to really sing into your heart, sing into your soul, and to really change you from the inside, and you become people that God wants you to be. Amen. Our vision is to become more like Christ by the word of God, by the Spirit, by fellowship and prayer. And our mission is to go and make disciples and save the lost and make disciples of all nations by preaching the gospel and by the move of the Spirit of God. So that is our vision and our mission. So my goal is to see all of you become like Christ. We want you to grow up. Amen. I pray this morning that we will have many Hispanic people, Latino people coming to the church. One day I pray that we're going to have a Latino church here. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to see more Chinese come into the church and get saved. Amen. But not only about numbers, but it's also about spiritual maturity. We want to see many people come in, millions of people come into the kingdom of God. But it's not just only the number, but we want quality. Therefore, we keep preaching about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And today, I would like to talk about the last thing and the fruit. We have been preaching about this for many, many Sundays. And today, we like to talk about self-control. Amen. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. Proverbs 25, verse 28, the Bible says, a man, including woman, without self-control is as defenseless as a city with broken down walls. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I pray that the anointing of God will wake people up, will get their attention. Their ears will be open. Lord, they will hear what the Spirit of God wants them to hear. Father, I pray that no one will fall asleep. No one will, Lord, have a daydream. No one will, Lord, think about something else in this show, but they will pay attention. They will incline their ears to what you want to say. They will open their heart to receive what the Spirit wants to say. And the Word of God will become the life, the medicine to their flesh. They will be healthy and strong. They will be healthy and strong not only physically, but spiritually and emotionally. No one gonna get depressed in this house. No one gonna lack sleep in this house. Everyone will be strong and healthy to serve the Lord Jesus to the end. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. The Bible talk about lack of self-control. And the Bible say that self-control is one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Bible says that if you lack self-control, you are like a city without walls. You know, we have three enemies. Have you ever watched the movie The Lord of the Ring? What happened when the wall go down? The enemies come in, is right? Have you ever watched those kind of movie that there is a big, you know, city with wall? When the wall is destroyed, what happened? That the enemy can come in. That's why we have three enemies. How many people know what kind of enemies we have? Number one is your mother-in-law. No, I'm sorry. Not your mother-in-law. Your enemy is not your mother-in-law. Number two is your husband. No, not your husband. Number one is your own flesh. Your own sinful nature is your enemy. Number two is the system of the world. You know, my daughter read many Christian books lately. And she said that it's amazing that the teaching in the Bible is really opposite the world's teaching. Amen. So the teaching of the system of the world will come in and destroy us. Number three, the devil or Satan and his workers called demons and fallen angels. These three enemies will try anywhere, everywhere, anytime to destroy your life. The sinful nature, the devil or demons, and the system of the world. If you don't have self-control, your system, your body, your life, your spirit, your house, anything about you, your physical body, your health, your finances, your relationship shall be destroyed. Because the enemy can enter into your life so easily without the walls around you. But self-control is like the wall, protecting yourself from the attack of the enemy. Amen. You know that, I believe everyone agree with me, that without self-control, people around you gonna be affected. People around you gonna be hurt. The relationship will be destroyed without self-control. Is that right? Without self-control, not only that, you destroy people around you. Like people who have a drunk driver. You know, a lot of people get hurt. I have so many patients in my office who came in with severe back injury, neck injury, brain injury. They lost their house, they lost their job. And when you ask them, what happened to you? Oh, that young person drunk and hit the back of my car at 60 miles an hour when I was going out from the freeway on the ramp. And the life is totally damaged by that car accident. You know, without self-control, you can damage people around you. But not only that, it will damage yourself. Without self-control, it will damage your health. The lack of self-control will damage your health. If you don't control your eating, you're going to have problem with cholesterol, with clog in the heart, in the brain vessel. Then people get a stroke. That's why I have to control my eating. That I don't need to eat too much. I don't need to eat too much chicken skin. A lot of cholesterol. Amen. Don't eat too much pies. Maybe half a piece is enough. Amen. You need to control yourself. If you lack self-control, you will destroy yourself. You will destroy your finances, your job, your family, your kids, your wife, everyone around you. That's why this subject is so important. Without self-control, you are vulnerable to any possible problem that can come into your life. From now, I'm going to read a few scriptures that the Bible talk about lack of self-control in certain issues. For example, the Bible really, really nail on this issue, nail on the issue of lack of self-control. Because God know that if you don't have self-control, you are in trouble. I give you example. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 11. Proverbs 29 verse 11 NIV say, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. So some people have uncontrolled anger. And the Bible calls those who have uncontrolled anger a fool. How many people want to be a fool? Raise your hand up. How many people want to be a wise person? I want to tell you the key of being wise. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When the Bible talks about wise or wisdom, it doesn't mean intellectual. It doesn't mean 5 diplomas from University of Washington or Seattle U. It doesn't mean head knowledge, but it means you fear God. And that's why I love revival. Because the more of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ has 7 kind of spirit in him. The spirit of might, and one of the spirit is the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. That's why Jesus, in the human body, he never sinned. And lately, I share with some leaders in the church and some in the email that lately, the longer I go into revival in the touch of God, in the fire of God, I have more and more fear of God in my heart. And the more fear of God in your heart, you know, fear of God means the fear of the Lord means to hate sin. When you fear God, you hate sin. You don't want to play with sin. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 days ago, I call my accountant because I have a condo to rent out. And the question come up like this. If I rent that condo out, do I have to pay tax on the rental money? Number two, if I sell that condo, do I have to pay tax on that income? And I tell you, I fear the Lord. I don't want to cheat the government. I call my accountant and say, if I sell my condo, do I have to pay tax? He said, yes, 15%. No matter what, no if and or but. You cannot cheat the government. I say, yes, sir, I will pay tax if I sell my condo. I'm not going to cheat the government. You know why? Because many people may not know, but God knows that I cheat. And how can I stand up here on the pulpit every Sunday preaching the word of God, but cheating the government? I cannot do that. I have the fear of God. And the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And when you fear God, you will be a wise person. How many people want to be a wise person? I give you the formula right now, very simple. You just fear God. You don't want to sin against God. And when you are a wise person, you will keep yourself under the control of God. When the Bible says self-control, it doesn't mean self in control. You know, this is interesting. When we first have revival in our church, many years ago, people fall under the power, people laugh, people shake, people cry. I got a lot of attacks from churches that this church does not teach self-control. Because people fall under the power of God and shake and laugh. People misunderstand the word self-control. The word self-control doesn't mean self in control. But it means self under the control of God. The Bible never teaches to control God. The Bible says God control us. So that's why in order to get into revival, you need to let God control you. So to fall under the power, to laugh in the Holy Spirit, and to cry in the Spirit of God is the self-control. Because you yourself is under the control of God. But because God control you, you can control your flesh. You can control your pride, your anger. And I want to tell you right now, it's so good to control your anger. Because if you don't control your anger, you will be a fool. And you're going to destroy your own life. Amen? Anytime you begin to get angry, I want to tell you, start to yield to the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit control you and don't vent your anger out right away. Amen? Don't blast out with anger, with words, with, you know, throwing the stuff in the house or something. It's not good. Amen. Hallelujah. So uncontrolled anger. Everyone say uncontrolled anger. I don't want it. I want to be wise. Another one, Proverbs chapter 6 verse 26. For a prostitute will bring you to poverty. You know, it's funny. When I was talking in the operating room, we have joke all the time, you know, sometimes good joke, sometimes not good joke. So when it's a bad joke, I don't want to get involved. But with this is a joke in the OR, in the operating room, that even Jim heard all the time. Happy wife, happy life. Two wife, work to life. Because you have to pay alimony. Three wife, no life. So in other words, adultery or sexual immorality will bring you to poverty. Amen. Will bring you into financial calamity. The Bible says, for a prostitute will bring you to poverty, and sleeping without another man, with another man's wife may cost you your very life. Uncontrolled lust is destructive. Uncontrolled sexual drive is destructive. You need to learn to let God control your sinful nature on the inside of you. Don't get involved with other people's wife. Don't get involved with another woman who is not your wife. Amen. Sex is only for marriage. Otherwise, you're going to get into trouble, poverty, and even take your life. Amen. Everyone say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20, the Bible say, the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools, the Bible use the word wise and fool all the time, but fools spend whatever they get. Another thing, not only uncontrolled lust, uncontrolled anger, the Bible talk about uncontrolled spending. Some people spend uncontrollably. You walk into the shopping mall, you're ready to pull your credit card out. And then you just swipe, swipe, and sign, and swipe. It's easier to go into the debt than to get out of the debt. How many people agree with me? So control your spending. Not everything you need, not everything that you buy is what you need. Most of the thing that we buy is what we want. Is that right? So we have to control our spending, because if you don't control your spending, you're going to get into poverty. I teach my kids like this. I say, control your spending. When you earn the income, when you go to work, the first thing you need to do is to pay off your debt and your mortgage. Don't worry about all luxurious thing right away, but pay off your mortgage, pay off your debt. Amen. And that is our policy since we got married. We never bought anything that we don't need, and we just keep paying off all the debt, everything. I have no mortgage now. I pay off my mortgage many years ago because I keep saving and pay off. I pay tithe too. I mean, don't take me wrong. I don't cheat God. I pay my tithe and I pay off my mortgage because I don't want debt. Amen. So we need to control the spending. Don't try to follow other people. If they have a nice car, if you cannot afford, don't need to buy a nice car. Just buy the car that you can use. Amen. I tell you one thing. Many things, it's like a reward. You know, some people can drive BMW, the Beamer, because they work so hard when they go to nursing school. It's a reward to them. They have enough money to buy the Beamer. But if you are poor, don't buy the Beamer. I'm not against Beamer if you listen to CD. Okay, I'm not against any car, but it's about control your spending. Amen. Not only Beamer, anything. Can be any car that you cannot afford. Don't buy something that you cannot afford. Amen. Number four, uncontrolled drinking. Alcohol itself is not sin. But if you have uncontrolled drinking, you are so addicted, you want to drink all the time, that is not good. The Bible say, I read for you, Proverbs chapter 23, verses 29 to 35. Who has war or trouble? Who has sorrow? Do you want sorrow? Don't do this. Who has strife? Who has complaints? Who has needless bruises? Oh, get hit. Who has bloodshot eyes? Those who linger over wine, who go to sample bowls of mixed wine. Do not gaze at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a snake and poisons like a viper. Your eyes will see strange sights and your mind imagine confusing things. You will be like one sleeping on the high seas, lying on top of the rigging. They hit me, you will say, but I am not hurt. They beat me, but I don't feel it. When will I wake up so I can find another drink? Ha ha. The Bible say, don't even look at the wine, because if you have the habit of uncontrolled drinking, you like to drink, you let the alcohol control you, you're going to be in trouble. You seek trouble to yourself. Amen. Another one, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 4. Uncontrolled ambition. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Some people work for 5 jobs. Wear themselves out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Learn to restrain yourself. Don't work for too many jobs, night and day, on call all the time, to get rich to the point that you don't have time to come to church. I tell you, I never take coming to church on Sunday as a job. I feel as a privilege to be able to come to church on Sunday. And I want to tell you right now, one of the reasons I'm healthy to today, without any cancer, sickness and disease, because I have chosen to come to church every single Sunday. Because every Sunday we come in to be washed by the presence of the rivers of God. And all the curses and demonic power will be kicked out from our life. It's much, I tell you, I will not exchange to anything else. I'd rather come into the house of God on Sunday. Because it will save me millions of dollars. Hundreds of bills to pay for the medical community. To be just in the house of God every Sunday for 2 hours. You don't have to pay medical bills. I don't worry about this with you. Because most people don't go to church around here. So people still pay my bill. Have to pay my bill. Because they don't choose to go to church. So they are, you know, it's amazing. I talk to some of my patients. Some of my patients have the diseases that cannot explain by medical textbook. And they say, please come to church. You're going to get healed. And they don't even come. It's amazing. People don't understand the blessing to be in the house of God. In the presence of God. How many people agree with me that you have saved so many hundreds of thousands of dollars of medical bills because you're in the house of God? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. One of my friends here, Jim, he had MRI, showed a big disc in his back. He just came to church and got healed. He did not need neurosurgeon. Amen. Praise God. Huh? Praise God. Amen. You bring your baby into the house of God and the baby will be washed by the word and the, you know, it's good to bring your baby in the womb to be in the presence of God and hear the word. Because when you hear, the baby hear too. Amen. The baby will be blessed inside the womb. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So don't have uncontrolled ambition. Don't try to get rich very fast. And try to work so hard all the time until you forget about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Workaholic. Say, I don't have time for my family. I don't have time for anyone else. I'm too busy building my career and achieving my goal. And the family is broken. The house is in trouble. Amen. Today, I'd like to talk about one thing. I don't think I will finish the whole sermon. I will, as I say, I'm going to go slow to make sure you get it. Okay. I want to talk about uncontrolled tongue. Uncontrolled tongue. Uncontrolled tongue. Because the greatest destroyer of relationships is not atomic bomb. It's not the what they have nowadays, the plane. It's F-17 or something, you know. It's not those things, but the greatest destroyer of any relationship is an uncontrolled tongue. Do you know that by average, we have about 30 conversations a day? Do you know that? And by average, you spend about 1/5 of your life speaking. 20% of your life is speaking. Except some of us spend about 50%. You speak enough words in each year to fill 66 books with 800 pages long a year. 66 books a year. If you gather all the things you say, some of you may write about 166 books. The average man speaks about 20,000 words a day. The average woman speaks about 30,000 words a day. And that's why when the husband go to work, when my husband and wife both go to work, they both spend already 20,000 words at work. So when they both come home, the husband is quiet. But the wife talk another 10,000 words. Now you know why at the home, wife talk more than the husband? Because usually women talk about 30,000 words a day. Except in some home that is opposite. Maybe like Tom. No, just kidding. He's opposite. 30,000 words from Tom. Have you ever heard preaching in a bus? Hallelujah. We are a nation of talkers. You know, when I first came to America, I was shocked. Who? So many talk shows in the TV, in the radio. People talk all the time. When I go to the hospital, people talk. We are a nation of talkers. People love to talk. Amen. So if you talk a lot, the art is this. The arts are this. You're going to make some mistake in your talking at certain time. And you're going to get into trouble because you say something wrong. The more you talk, the higher chance you're going to get into trouble. That's why lately I talk less. They say 20,000, maybe for me only 10,000, because I don't want to get into trouble. Amen. The more you talk, the higher chance you're going to get yourself into trouble. Because one of these words, you're going to come out wrong. Because we are human beings and we are not totally clean yet. Amen. Look at what the Bible says about tongue. James chapter 3 verses 5 to 6. The tongue is a small thing. Is that true? Hallelujah. But what enormous damage it can do. A great forest can be set on fire by one tiny spark. The tongue can turn our whole life into a blazing flame of destruction and disaster. Wow. The Bible said that the tongue is compared to fire. The Bible said that a carelessly tossed match can burn the whole green forest. The same thing, a carelessly tossed word from your tongue can destroy the whole house, your job, your career, your deal, anything. You can get into jail if you say something wrong. Amen? It can destroy you. In 1983, in Australia, a young man tossed a match out of the window. And that match burned 600 square miles of Australia, including some cities and towns, by one match. You can see that the fire can be beneficial or it can be destructive. Amen. One careless word, one thoughtless word can have destructive effect on the people around you if you are not careful. That's why when we talk about self-control, the Bible says that if you can control your tongue, you can control your whole body. Is that right? So you need to talk about tongue a lot when we talk about self-control. Have you ever met a verbal arsonist? Do I say it right? Arsonist, is it right? Arsonist. 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 What does it mean, arsonist? How many people know? The person who set fire. I heard that somebody set fire on the east side around here. Those who care about cutting the tree down or something like that. They burned two houses in Sammamish area. Arsonist. Have you ever heard that news? I heard that news. Somebody burned somebody's house. You know? So, some people, they don't use the match. They use their tongue. They are verbal arsonists. Their tongue are so poisonous. They love to accuse. They love to gossip. They love to spread gossip and critical words. How many people know that gossip can spread so quickly? The words of gossip. And can destroy so many people. Amen. Hallelujah. So, it's like a wildfire. The gossip, the destructive words. So we have to watch our mouth. Because our mouth can destroy people, life, people, faith. Amen. For example, if I just say like this to you as a pastor, you know, don't believe in this passage. It's wrong. Who? I destroy the whole church. Because my mouth is an arsonist to destroy your faith. It's a fire, destroy your faith. It's a bad fire. Oh, maybe I say something like this, that, oh, You know, God healed people 2,000 years ago. He will not heal you anymore. You're going to live in sickness forever. Ooh. It's verbal arsonist. You destroy people by the word of doubt, the word of lack of faith. Everything we say, we have to be careful, because especially I want to really warn anyone in this house who have the job and the title and the responsibility to teach the word of God and to share the word of God. Or the lead care group leader who sit there and open the lesson and teach. Because everything you say either build or destroy people. You need to watch your mouth carefully. If you're not sure that you are sending the fire to destroy people because of the word of criticism, the word of gossip, or the word of doubt, don't say it. You are responsible. Amen. That's why the Bible says God gonna take teacher in the house of God more responsible, more accountable than other people. Like I'm standing up here, I have higher responsibility than you, because I'm gonna say either destroy you or build you up. It's so important when you share the word of God, you need to be very careful. Watch your heart carefully. Fire under control give warmth and light. But fire without control will destroy the whole city and the whole will cause destruction. Therefore, the same thing, mouth under control build relationship. Mouth and tongue without control destroy every relationship around you. Amen. Have you ever seen people that their career has been destroyed by their mouth? Say something wrong to their boss. Boom, in 1 minute, get fired. Amen? So you have to be careful. Some families, some kids are destroyed by their parents. The husband says something wrong to their kids. Bam, destruction. Some friendship destroyed because of saying something wrong. Amen? I have to stop being a friend with so many people around me. I make decision not to be a friend with those people because they say something wrong that I don't want to deal with. I don't want to be around because they cause destruction to my life. I have to get away from these people because I don't want to be burned by them, by their mouth. Sometimes you have to run away from people who is a verbal arsonist, because they're going to destroy you. Hang around with positive people. Hang around with people of faith. Hang around with people who talk lovingly, positively. Because if you hang around people who talk negative, you're going to be negative like them. It's going to impact you. It's going to be imparted onto you. Amen. This is why we need to learn about self-control. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3, self-control means controlling the tongue in Living Bible. Wow. It's a definition in Living Bible. Self-control means controlling the tongue. In NLT, New Living Translation, say, those who control their tongue will have a long life. A quick retort can ruin everything. Wow. How many people want to have a long life? How many people want to be blessed? Control your tongue. Very important. I believe that this lesson you need to listen maybe once a year or twice a year, because we forget. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. There are four keys that I want to talk about controlling our tongue. And I may mention only one or two today. Depends on the time. Number one, the first key, think before you speak. Two, always speak the truth in love. Speak the truth, number two. Number three, speak the truth in love. Three, ask the Spirit of Christ to help you every day what to say. So number one, I say at the same time, think before I speak. Number two, speak the truth. Number three, speak the truth in love. Number four, ask the Spirit of God to help me speak. Look at think before we speak first. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 23. Intelligent people think before they speak. What they say is then more persuasive. In New NIV say, a wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. Wise man, how do you know that a person is wise? You don't look at their hairstyle. You don't look at their clothes. They don't look at their house. You look at what they say. You know, wise people say the right thing at the right time to the right people at the right way to say it. The mouth really reveal who you are. Don't say something like this. Oh, that day it happened to say that me. It's not me. It's not me. No, it's you. If you say, no, something come upon me to say that. No, it's not something. It's you. Say that. Don't blame other people. You say what you think in your heart. So that's why you need to think first. What control your heart first. If you are wise, you fear God. When we talk about the fear of God, it includes everything. Not only jump on the bed with a secretary and have adultery. No. When you talk about fear of God, not only mean to go to the gamble and to the Las Vegas and pay gamble. No. When we talk about fear of God, mean including you fear God to the point of what you're going to say, is it going to hurt God or not? Is it going to make God upset with you or not? Is that right? That's why the Bible says, be careful of your careless word, because it really hurt God. When you fear God, you watch your mouth, because you don't want God to be upset with you. You don't want God to, take away His glory. Because when you say the right thing, you give glory to God. When you say the wrong thing, people shake their head. I don't want to be a Christian. You know, in America, I'm so sad that a lot of people don't like to be a Christian. They hate Christian. I think one of the reasons because Christians say wrong things and they offend non-believers. Amen. That's why one of the reasons I tell you right now, some people ask me, why don't you talk about politics on the pulpit? Because I don't want to get involved in the pulpit, politics up here. It's not about church. Politics is politics. We just pray for the government. We pray for them. We are not here to control them. We are here to bless them and pray for them. Amen. Hallelujah. We are not here to attack any group of people on the church. We love them. Amen. You know, some church attack the people with the alternative lifestyle. I'm not going to attack them. I love them. Amen. Amen. We don't agree with sin, but we love sinners. So I'm not going to use my pulpit to attack those people. I love them. Actually, I love them very much. I want them to come to know God. Why I attack people I love? So that's why we have to be careful. Amen. Are you going to glorify God or are you going to despise God? It's your mouth. Amen. So think first. Don't assume anything. This is important. When somebody walks through the door, you see that he has a long face. Look kind of upset. You assume right away, oh, he hates me. So I'm going to go and attack him right now. He may have a hard time yesterday. Maybe yesterday the boss yelled at him. He has nothing to you. But you assume. So be careful. Don't assume things. Amen. Don't assume. Think before. You find the truth first before you say something. You really need to understand people before you say anything. Think before you speak. Amen. The same thing with husband and wife. Maybe the wife doesn't cook that. I'm going to talk about Mother's Day soon. When is Mother's Day? What Sunday? May what? May 8th. I'm going to talk about lady that day to help husband understand woman more. You know, sometimes you come in and you see that the wife is not cooking because she worked all day and you come in and attack her right away. You know, oh, why don't you cook? I'm tired. I work all day. So don't assume. You know, you need to be careful. You don't assume things. You need to think before you speak. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20. You will have to live with the consequences of everything you say. Amen. You live with the consequence of everything you say. That's what the Bible says. In NLT say, words satisfy the soul as food satisfies the stomach. The right words on a person's lips bring satisfaction. People have died for their wrong saying. I remember when I was young in Thailand, some people drive like this, and somebody opened the window and say something like this, bad word. Another person pulled a gun out and shoot, and he died. I'm serious. No, people shoot one another which is because of wrong one word. Amen? So be careful. Some husband may go into jail because say something wrong to the wife one word. And the wife called the police and say, why you say like this to me? You abuse me. You know, people die because of wrong word. And do you know that words that you say have chain reaction? How many people know that? One time, a dad came home tired and grumpy and very upset from work. And then he yelled at the mom. The mom yelled at the older brother. The older brother yelled at the younger sister. The younger sister kicked the dog. And the dog bite the cat. The cat scratched on the baby. And the baby bite the head of the Barbie doll off. Why doesn't the husband go and bite the Barbie doll off himself? Why have to go through the older brother, the wife, the baby, the dog, the cat, and the Barbie doll? Just go and bite the Barbie doll off and done. Don't go through chain reaction. It's true. It affects everybody in the house. I tell you, if I come home and I'm upset and I start to yell and I start to do, everyone in my house, Da, Pastor Da, Tani Da, Joy, Paul, everyone, including that dog and cat, gonna get affected by me. Including the golden fish in the tank, gonna get a fish affected by me. Because what I say, it's called chain reaction. Amen. So that's why you have to be very careful. Amen. What you say can make people happy or make people sad. What you say can make people healthy or sick. Some people are sick with the ulcer because the husband or the wife keep barking, keep yelling to the point that they're sick and depressed. Your mouth can make people healthy or sick, sad or happy. Your word, your mouth can make people wise or foolish. I'm serious. It causes so much effect upon people around you. It can build people up or can tear people down. You can get hired or you can get fired because of your mouth. Is it true? Yeah. That's why I tell Jim, we work together in the OR. I tell Jim like this. When my assistant says something, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Don't argue with him. Don't make him mad. You know, your mouth can make people upset. You can get fired or get hired. You lost your business because you say something wrong. Very important. Amen. Nowadays, it's not only mouth, it's also mouse. Many years ago, we used mouth. Now we use mouse, email. I get mad at this person, I type it up, launch off by the mouse. And people get it and then get angry. You yell at me through the email. You know, you have to be careful. Either mouth or mouse. Now we are living in the high technology. We use mouse now, not only mouth. Amen. Hallelujah. So you need to learn to think first. What you gonna think? What you gonna think when you say? Let me give you some tips here. Five things. THINK. Number one, think anything that is truthful. Amen. Think something that is truthful. Don't lie. Two, whatever you say should be helpful. Sometimes, you know, as a pastor, I have to admit to you that sometimes it's hard to just listen to criticism. You don't do this. You don't do this. You do this. You do wrong, this and that. You know, I don't want only criticism. I need answer. That is helpful. Don't come to me or come to your wife or come to your husband or come to your boss and say, you do wrong. You do wrong. You do wrong. Okay, I know I do wrong. What is the solution? I need solution. Helpful. So every time you're going to go to somebody to say that he is wrong, please prepare the answer. What is the right thing to do? And what is the solution for that problem? Amen. So that is the word that is helpful. Amen. Number three, inspirational. You need to inspire people. to do the right thing, to do the good things. Always say something that inspires people to move on with God, to grow, to do the right thing. Inspirational. Number four, necessary. Don't open your mouth all the time. If it's not necessary, keep your mouth shut. Amen? Don't say it. I practice this all the time in my house and in my job and in the church. If it's not necessary, I don't say anything. I just keep my mouth shut. Only say thing that is necessary for the person who listen and for the whole situation. Amen? Number five, kind. T-H-I-N-K. Truthful, helpful, inspirational, necessary, and kind. Speak kindly. Don't yell. Don't raise your voice. Amen? Don't manipulate. Be kind when you speak. That's how you think. Everyone say at the same time. Number one, truthful. Helpful. Inspirational. Necessary. And kind. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 25, it is a trap for a man to dedicate something rashly and only later consider his vows. I want to teach you something here before I end this part of the sermon and continue next Sunday, if God permits. Choose your commitment carefully. Guys, don't go around and open your mouth quickly and say, I love you to every woman. Don't say to five women at the same time, I'm going to marry you. You're going to be in trouble. You cannot marry five women at the same time. Amen. Choose your commitment carefully. Don't make promises that you don't intend to keep. I have to be careful with myself too. Sometimes I rush to say, oh, I'd like to have dinner with you. And then, ooh, I don't know, I have time to have dinner. Because I'm so busy. You know what I mean? You have to make sure that before you promise anything, you're sure that you can keep your promise. Consider, another thing I want to say, consider the cost of your commitments and think before you make the commitment. Consider the cost, how carefully, the cost of your commitment before you do anything. Sit down, think carefully. If I make this promise to this person, what is the consequences afterward? Don't rush to make a vow, to make a commitment to anybody. It's always easier to get in than to get out. It's always easier to go in debt than to get out of debt. It's always easier to get into a relationship than out of a relationship. It's easier to get into our church parking lot than to get out of the church parking lot. Is it easier to fill your schedule than to fulfill your schedule? Don't make rash vows or promise that you don't intend to keep. Amen? Have you ever said, I have done this before? This happened to me. Have you ever said yes to a salesman and later regretted it? It happened to me many times. People come to sell me something. Oh, yeah. When I sign it, ooh, how many windows I can pull off? 3 days. I have to send back 3 days. I need to cancel this deal. You feel regret because you say yes too soon, too fast. Have you ever made promise to your kid that the kid keep coming? Ha ha, dad, you promised me. You're going to give me a car. You're going to give me a house or whatever. You know, you make promise to your kid and you get stuck. Amen. Have you ever accepted an invitation and then wish that you had not accepted it? Don't rush to make any commitment or vow. Think first, ask the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe all of us has made this mistake before. How many people agree? We all make this mistake. We make a rush vow, and we don't think enough. We just go by emotions. You know, we need to be careful. Think first. Amen. Hallelujah. How many people say that? God help me to control my tongue. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we believe, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is powerful And if we submit to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God will help us to control our body, our tongues, our mouth, our mouths. Father, we pray in Jesus' mighty name that your people in this church and your people who listen to this teaching through the internet and through the CD will learn how to let you control them. And they learn how to control their tongue. They will not say, Lord, nonsensical word. They will not say things that are critical, judgmental, faithless, destructive, negative words. Help them, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we bless you indeed. Help them, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This morning, if you never accepted Jesus Christ into your life, I would like to have a privilege to pray with you to receive Jesus Christ. If you'd like to do that, at the end of the service, you can come to me and say, Pastor, I want to become a Christian. Can you pray with me? I want you to pray for me. Amen. So you can come to me. I will stand here and wait for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many people in this room feel that you have this problem of controlling your tongue? Raise your hand up. So many people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You need God help? Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Charleston, I'd like to pray for you. Can you come out here? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ask God, you know, in order for the Holy Spirit to help you, you need to repent. You need to take serious about letting God help you, minister to you. May the Spirit of God help Charleston. In Jesus' mighty name, may the fire of God burn. Yes, Lord. Burn the bondage, the power of darkness in his life. In Jesus' mighty name. Yes, Lord. Fire of God. Fire. Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shikano, I saw you raise your hand. Where is Shikano? Come here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I know you're going to use her in a mighty way. May the fire of God help her tongue in Jesus' mighty name. Fire! Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Paul. Hallelujah. Come here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lift your hand. God, help me. I need to change, Lord. Help me, Lord, by your power. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Fire of God. Jesus' mighty name. Fire. Jesus' mighty name. Fire. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Yoko, may God use your mouth to evangelize in your shop, that many souls will come to know him. Yoko, come here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Stand here. Hallelujah. May the fire of God keep you healthy. May the grace of God and the favor of God bless you and your husband.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-2418. 1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much,